All right, you're on, so let's all behave ourselves.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee of the Newton Board of Aldermen. It is Tuesday, June 7th, 2001. My name is Ted Hess McCann.
I don't think so.
2011. Did I put
2011? 2011. I beg your pardon.
I could have put 2001 in there.
Huh? All right.
Oh,
well,
that's the same.
You know, I have this small problem with my
numbers
just getting too short. It has nothing to do with my eyes. It is Tuesday, June 7th, 2011. For those of you who are really picky about it. The first item on for this evening.
We're not
thank you.
An adorable guy in here.
I need to just let people know that this meeting is being audio recorded. The first item on for this evening is a request for a consistency determination, raised special permit 138-10, granted on August 11, 2010, to Marty Siegel, 661-669 Washington Street Realty Trust, to add two additions to the side in front of a commercial building at 675 Washington Street, Ward 2. There is an attached memorandum to your agenda, which is from Mark Armstrong, who's the architect on this project, to John Lojek, who is the commissioner of ISD.
Under the
yeah, that's right. I brought more agendas. I don't know what
it should be on the back side of the page.
It's double-sided.
Yeah, if you need extra... Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I think, is that the agenda that...
Does everybody have everything they need?
I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay. For those of you who don't recall, this was a special permit to renovate and build an addition on Marty's Liquors on Washington Street in Newtonville. We approved this earlier, last year. And they're in for a consistency review. Just to remind members of the committee and the public, we don't actually rule on this, but we do advise the commissioner of ISD. So if you have any thoughts after Eve does her presentation, then feel free to share them. So go ahead.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I should have introduced everyone at the beginning of the meeting. I'm chair of the committee, Ted Hess McCann, Alderman-at-Large from Ward 3. We have Alderman-at-Large from Ward 2, Susan Albright, Alderman-at-Large and Vice Chairman of the Committee from Ward 8, Mitch Fishman from Ward 5, Alderman-at-Large Deb Crossley from Ward 7. We have Alderman-at-Large Sidrus Schnipper, and down the end of the table we have Carl Merrill, Alderman-at-Large from Ward 1, and Ward Alderman Dick Blazer from Ward 6. We also have staff at the meeting this evening. Immediately to my right is Community Clerk Linda Finucane, also Associate City Solicitor Wida Young, and then next to her is Eve Tapper, our Chief Planner. So go ahead, Eve.
Sure. So as you recall, the special permit was issued in August of last year. It was to extend a non-conforming structure and to waive one parking space. They wanted to enclose the recycling that was on the edge of the building on the end here. And they are now seeking a consistency ruling to do three things. They want to move this cardboard compactor that sits in the front of the building right now to the back off of Court Street into an underground garage that goes into the building. This will actually allow them to store more compacted cardboard, so there'll be less pickups. Is a benefit in addition to the fact that they're getting rid of the ugly machine up front, which when they got the special permit, they had agreed to put a fence around it. Not only will they remove it, they'll agree to landscape it, and it will free up a parking space that is now currently covered with where the dumpster is, for lack of a better word. They also, so this is the space that they had the recycling in, and they wanted to enclose it. They have now tried to move, they want to remove the recycling from this area and move it to this area. One of the problems with where it is they have to use a number of machines, and they don't have very much storage space, so that, again, there are more pickups of the space, and the machines jam when there's too much recycling material in there. In this particular case, they're going to use fewer machines, and the chutes will go directly into the basement, where they will be stored. Again, there's a lot more storage space in the basement, away from the public. And there's an elevator over here, in the basement, they'll come up the elevator and out the loading dock, and this is the general loading for everything. So they'll be getting rid of the recycling in the loading area rather than pulling a truck up to remove the recycling, and there'll be a need for fewer deliveries.
So we don't get confused, it's not actually recycling, it's bottle redemption that they're going to pick up from the front. Are they going to pick up the recycled cardboard from the back, or are they going to...
Yes, and it's unclear, do you know if it's the same truck that does it, or it's two separate...
No, different companies.
Two separate companies.
Thank you.
But more storage space for both of those uses. So right now the estimate is they come three times a week for the cardboard here, and they estimate one time a week under normal circumstances, maybe twice a week during the Christmas season when they're really busy. So it will be off of Court Street, much more than off of Washington Street, and this is more of a residential street, but they'll be there less often, and it will be underground as opposed to this.
It'll be in the garage.
The building in the garage, yes.
And it's also going to mean you're not going to have the pallets with all the cardboard piled on top of it, right?
Right, those will be stored in the garage.
So you won't see them. Mm-hmm. And lastly, because they're moving the recycling out of here, they're going to recapture this space for interior retail space. They're going to actually expand the deli. And so right now the food prep is here, and I believe the deli takes place out here, and they're going to move it back so there's more of a direct connection between the food prep and the back of the deli area. And so they will recapture some additional retail space.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, Eve, but is that space going to be used? Because I saw the plans that I saw last Friday said coffee. Right?
Yes, no, they've changed it to a deli. They're going to expand their deli, and it is going to be completely open to the store. So the concern that we had seen earlier was that maybe they could close this off and use this separate, and that is not the case.
And is there going to be a separate door? Because I'm not sure if you can see it from
there. You know, there is a door here. I was talking to the architect earlier. They could probably take or leave the door. It's there partly because of the design, and it was there before. But before, it went into the recycling area, and you couldn't get in from the recycling area to the rest of the store. So from a functional standpoint, it may not be needed. It could be an emergency egress. It also could make it easier to load some of the food into the back area. But I think if you don't want it there, he might be willing to take it out.
So if the current concern was that there'd be an intensification of the use, that's not what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the landscaping, there was some landscaping around that in the corner. Is that going to stay there?
They're going to landscape it even nicer because now the dumpster was here.
Oh, that's showing me.
This is showing the new version where there's no dumpster, and they're going to be able to landscape the corner better.
Sounds good.
Alderman Fishman?
So so go back to the sketch. So... what is the pickup? I think you said two or three times a week in the back?
No, so the pickup now for the cardboard is up front.
Right.
Now the truck is going to have to go down Court Street, and there's residential on Court Street. But it's going to go, the storage will all be in the building. And currently it's three times a week. And with this new storage in the basement and more storage, they estimate it'll be only once a week, maybe twice a week at the very busy Christmas time. So we understand that it's going down the more residential street, but it'll be less often, and it will take the eyesore out of the parking lot.
So we'll have the bells on when you back up?
I assume. I don't know
you
what kind
can
of...
turn them off.
And what time of day, or do you not...
That can be dictated. We're willing to, because it's separate, and it will be separate from the intense parking situation, it could be...
Daylight hours after a certain time.
And it's indoors, so it's during the store hours, more or less, right?
No, the store hours.
No, I understand that, but
they don't open real early.
It would be during store hours because personnel would have to be there.
So it wouldn't be like if it's 7 o'clock in the morning?
Right. Unlike the Golden Living Center on Amory Street, which I'm going to have a talk with the ISD commissioner about.
They're limited to 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning? Well, actually, it was 5:52 this morning, so.
So I think, you know, again, it'd be important to limit the hours and turn off the bells and do this. During the day, it's probably
back
not necessary.
Yeah. It's not such an issue during the day, and I think that's the only time they'll be doing it.
So I only have one question. Mm-hmm. Can we add additional conditions that were not in the original board order and still find it consistent?
No, you can't. However, the Inspectional Services Department, as part of their building permit process, can put a condition on it.
Okay, so if we can just communicate to the ISD that's kind of conditions that we want. Any other issues, questions, concerns? Carlton?
Just say that the changes that we proposed enhance that entire property, particularly one corner down where they have that bend right at the end of the Carter Street and Washington Street. Move that back. And the area where in front of the bridge, the empty bottles and so forth, move that way down
and
back.
Yeah, actually, the empty bottles are now going to be in the front of the store completely away.
That's right. So I think what they're proposing is going to enhance that entire property, beautify it, have some greenery there, which would make one of our aldermen happy. And I would recommend that the public building
Okay.
And I know that the window is no longer plastered with paper signs.
Is what?
The front window
doesn't
have the paper.
Yes. No, they cleaned up the front of the store. That's
very
true.
Nice. Yeah. Much better.
Can I just make one other comment?
I don't know if it's special.
This is also a new facade. There was no window. And was there a door? There was a door. I believe there was a door, but no window.
Was that a blank wall?
Yes.
It was a blank wall.
So that changes a little bit.
And that goes into the redemption?
Yeah.
What about the loading? Has it always been the same spot?
The loading is in the same space.
So that's the area to the right of the bridge?
This is the loading. Yeah.
And there was also going to be some additional flower boxes, or just the flower boxes that were there. There was going to be, I forget, there was a new opening someplace.
That we were going to withdraw that proposal.
Okay.
So we're going to actually just repair all the existing flower planters to the right. They need to be repaired.
Great.
But that whole masonry sort of interesting 60s thing will be renovated.
Alderman Fishman?
Just refresh me. I thought they were doing a new sidewalk going up and down.
That's the
store.
I think that they are. I think this
on Court Street.
New.
I thought that was on Court Street.
The sidewalk on the side of the building.
Yeah, I know. Where's the sidewalk?
It is what it is.
It is what it is? I thought it was going to be something different.
There are some changes to the skirt back.
Yeah, there are.
There are a few landscaping changes.
Yeah.
Chris, right?
Yep.
Right here, we're going to consolidate the curves and make it a little corner and have a planting bed and a tree. So those things are not supposed to change.
But we talked about the sidewalk, but we decided not to do anything.
Right.
We also, because you have to do curb cuts on both sides of every intersection if you do that. Yeah.
In the decision, however, I believe is to repair the traffic aprons.
But there is a handicap access there.
No, down on Court Street where it bends.
Where it bends on Court Street.
Because there was no sidewalk there now.
Is there a handicap access on the other side of Court Street at the intersection? Because you have to have two, right? Do you have a crosswalk?
It was redone. I have a photo.
So it has a delineation of the crosswalk?
No, I don't see crosswalk lines, but here's a photo of
our corner. In its current state.
This is this corner. This is on Washington Street in Court, as opposed to the bend in Court. Court goes down and then it takes
So it goes both ways. And it has the handicap marking. Not the marking, but the yellow thing there.
After
the street comes out, they can do crosswalk there.
Yeah.
With the signs up there warning the traffic both ways.
They actually did a beautiful job there.
Okay, good.
All right.
Do you want to make any comment about the extra door, or do you not care?
Well,
Does anybody have any concern about the door that is currently there that goes into the Redemption Center that will now go into the expanded deli? Do you want it out? Do you want it in? Do you want it to just be agnostic on it? It's up to you.
Why would we care? What's the harm of it?
Well, it used to be there because you couldn't get from the recycling
right.
into the building, and now it's just an extra door you can get in and go around. So it's not it's not necessary, and there was a discussion about
it. Can we leave it up to the proponent to do what he wants?
Well, I think he has to build it the way you say. It's right now it's there.
Yeah.
Right now it's in the approved plan.
Does he want it?
Yeah, what does he want?
You want it there. You couldn't
if there's no preference, we can just say that people don't have a preference about it and then leave it up to ISD when they do the building permit to say whether it's going to go in or not. You ultimately have to have the plans conform to the building permit. So as long as nobody has a deep objection to it, I think we can just leave that up to the petitioner and ISD. Anything else? All right. Thank you. I'm sorry?
Whose ward is it?
There's no motion. We opine.
It's to the commission.
There's something ruling you don't
vote on.
It's review, not a ruling. The ISD commissioner makes the ruling. We merely review it and provide helpful tidbits.
If he chooses to ask
you. Right.
Yes, the authority.
Okay. All right, I see on the agenda we actually have 7-11, which is Charles River Country Club, is next. Is there anybody in tonight to do the peer review? Okay, all right, that's fine. Then we'll do Charles River first. So just to read this into the record, the next item is docket item number 7-11, Charles River Country Club, Inc., petition for a special permit site plan approval and to extend a non-conforming use to create a short game practice area for its members and guests in a currently unimproved portion of an existing golf course. No buildings or structures are involved at 483 Dedham Street, Ward 8, on land known as SBL 83364, containing 6,446,022 square feet of land in a district zone single residence 1. This is a working session. Whoever's going to give the report on the public hearing, we'll do that. But we're not going to have public comment tonight. This is a working session, and so this will be in committee. So if you have, who's going to, Eve, do you want to talk about the public hearing, or Mitch, or who wants to do that?
I have notes. I think Wade has her notes.
All right, March
15th.
The working session picked up a lot of the issues.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just want to. I like
just
to have people.
A brief recap.
A brief summary of the public hearing, just to make sure that we have the.
Like to do it, man?
You can go ahead and start if you want.
It was March 15th. It was continued from February 15th to March 15th. There were a number of speakers. Numerous speakers, protocol. Most of whom were opposed to it. Mr. Chevelle, Attorney Bill Chevelle, represented some abutters at the Gables and the Ledges, I believe.
Ledges, yep.
And essentially, that was it. Yeah, there were more cons than pros, if I recall.
Yeah.
And the hearing was closed that evening. And you had a site visit, was it last week?
We had a site visit Thursday morning.
June 5th, correct?
Right. June 5th? No, it was June 2nd. June 5th was Sunday.
Wow.
Would have been lovely, but
It was
lovely.
It was a nice morning.
Yeah, and I think essentially the issues that were raised by the members of the public were against were noise and
smoking
and flying golf balls.
The three primary
issues that got identified by the
concerns about some questions about the drainage.
Yep.
What type of pesticides were used on the golf course, for instance. But other than that, it was primarily noise and golf balls.
And I think Mr. Chevelle's communications to the Land Use Committee have been consistent with the testimony that was presented that night.
Okay.
And there was the precedent question.
Yes.
The what?
There was the question of the precedent of developing within what some people refer to as the buffer, and that if you allowed the buffer to be developed here, it would precedent for...
Speak a little louder, sorry.
And that there was a question about precedent, that this is a closer area to the residents than some of the other areas are, and that if you allow development in this area, that it could create a precedent. I'm not saying it is, but it could create a precedent for development of other areas in and around. And I think that was probably one of the reasons why the ledges joined in with the gables.
And we did, each of these special permits, if I'm not mistaken, are sui generis. It's not...
Yeah, that's right.
There's no precedential value to what we do.
That's right. And this particular country club, as you know, has been in at least two other times, maybe three other times in recent years for various special permits related to the operation of their
country
club.
I mean, I'm not saying I agree with that.
No, I'm
just reporting what some of the testimony was.
Okay. Eve, you want to go through?
Sure. It is, as we said, a pretty large site, 148 acres. This picture does not show it all. It's hard to get it all on there, but it does show the relevant portion. The area we're talking about is right here. This is the visitor's parking lot, and it's right on the other side. At one point in its life, this was the driving range, and the gables are right over here. The golf course itself has operated this site for over 80 years and has, as we said, a number of special permits for various parts of the golf course. It is in the SR1 zone, residential zone, so it is a legal non-conforming use in the single residence zone. And that's why they have to come in every time they want to extend it. What they would like to do is create a short game practice area for members and guests in the unimproved portion of the golf course. Again, I just showed you, there's the parking lot, you drive up, and this is the short game area that they're proposing, and it was, at one point, the driving range.
Now, just for those folks who may not be aware, this is somewhat changed from what was presented at the public hearing?
Yes, after the public hearing, it went back and redesigned it, and I have some close-ups, and okay. I can explain what the changes are, but they heard some of the testimony and changed it to be designed in a way that would impact the legal flat.
And just for the record, I just want to note that the alderman who I recall being present, and let me know if there's anybody else, was myself, Alderman Albright, and Alderman Fishman, Alderman Crossley, Alderman Shapiro.
Harney. Well, Alderman Harney was there.
Alderman Harney was also there, yeah. Who's not present tonight. Is there anybody else?
No, I don't believe that there was anybody okay. else.
Oh, dear.
And Weta, yes, Weta Young, our associate city solicitor, was there, yes.
Okay. So again, prior to 1983, the driving range was located there and has since been relocated to another area. Again, the relief they're requesting is 3021A2A to amend their previous board orders for an extension of their legal non-conforming use and to amend their site plans that are existing on the site, 3024. Hold on. The area that they're talking about, a good little video. Is for a short game, and instead of a driving range, we have a video of sort of the kind of shot that would be happening here, and so you can see it doesn't actually go very far, even when the shot is not particularly good. It's a very small swing. You're trying to aim specifically for the green where the pin is, and you're not swinging very hard. So even if you miss it a little bit, it's not going to go way up in the air. You're not taking a full swing.
Eve, do you know where this was shot?
I do not.
That's our golf pro.
I'm sorry, but it wasn't a very good shot.
It's during his lifetime.
So okay. Yeah,
it looks fairly recent. That is our existing, looks like our existing chicken site.
I just, point of interest, that tonight when I was walking home from the graduation, Newton North High School on Washington Street, there was somebody doing chip shots in front of the Oakley Spa Market. Right down Parson. But it was right off of Washington Street. I was fascinated. Kismet.
Go ahead.
No, so the point on this anyway is that the you know, it landed only about here. It wasn't going very fast. It wasn't didn't make a lot of noise. There was no video audio. But, so it's a very controlled shot.
Do you know how many yards that is approximately? Because when we did the site visit, there was a lot of talk about how many yards the chip shot was.
And I mean, it's under 50. It's probably under 50 yards. It's not, you're pretty, I mean, when you do them, you're pretty close to the green. If you're more than 50 or 100 yards, you're taking more of a swing.
From where he was, I might suggest, from looking at it, he's probably 25 yards off.
Alderman Cross?
I don't mean to interrupt your presentation, but we're talking about types of shots, I mean, just to be fair, there are a number of types of shots that are taken on this type of a practice green. I think we've heard that. It depends on whether you're putting or whether you're chipping the ball from an easy spot like that, or you're deep into the rough or a sand pit or something like that.
Right.
So you use different kinds of irons and there would be different distances.
Yes, but it's not like a driving range where you're taking a full swing. And actually, when we show how they have redesigned it since the, let's see if it's on the next slide. Since the last iteration, they have moved it further away. This is the property line, and at one point it was up to the easement here, and they've moved it further away. And they've also redesigned it. So initially, the sand traps were over here. And in the sand traps, you actually take a much harder swing because you're not supposed to hit the ball. And I say not supposed to. You're supposed to hit the sand, and the sand will move the ball, and the ball won't go very far. But if you're like me, you hit the ball by mistake, and it could go much further than you anticipate because you are taking a harder swing. So what they did was they moved the sand traps on the side so that when you are swinging, you're swinging away from the gable. So even if you mishit it, you're gonna end up on the golf course property instead of closer to the house.
Just so we're consistent, so the amount that they've moved back from the original design, how much farther back from the gables?
This is 75 feet now from
which
the property
is
line.
25 yards.
Mm-hmm. And before, what was it?
It was, they've moved it. It was up to here, which is the easement. And I can't read it on here.
Right,
so I think they moved it 30 feet or so closer to the golf.
Which is it? It's. I just want to make sure we know what the dimensions are. So.
They moved it from 30 to 75 feet.
Okay, so it's really 45 feet that they've moved it.
Right, so this is now 75 feet away from the property line, which is still. The houses are not right on the property line.
All right, so we really moved it 15 yards. So, okay. I just want to make sure we're consistent.
Traffic relative to that?
The street is way over on the right.
This is the driveway goes this way, and then the street is here. Okay. You're not going to hit the street.
No, that's important. I mean, you were going into the property, now you're going sort of away, but you don't want to be hitting cars.
Yeah. You're not going to hit the parking cars either.
Alderman Albright?
So since there was reference to a buffer zone, was there ever a buffer zone and not to be doing things within a buffer zone?
On the property itself, there are some wetlands and buffer riverfront issues, but this is not located in any of them.
But the buffer zone that was referred to earlier, was such a thing, you know, not to build within so many feet of the property line? Was
If there was anything, it was a private agreement. It is not part of the zoning ordinance. It's never been part of a special permit.
Okay. But there is a water easement here that the city has that you cannot build on.
Yes, but that's a different issue.
That's a different issue.
But they're not building buildings either. They're just, I mean, if we needed to get to the water easement, we could get there.
Okay, so... So that's location. Anybody else have any questions about the location before we move off that slide?
So let's go back to the... So, you know, if you looked at, I'll call it Chevelle's June 3rd piece...
Yeah, I did not get it.
You didn't get it?
No.
So here's an example of Exhibit B of that. So if you look at Chevelle's June 3rd, and you look at Exhibit B...
Yeah, you are on that enormous distribution there.
I am?
You were, yeah.
Okay.
Exhibit B. I think it's two, maybe?
I actually didn't put that one either.
Maybe it's different one. What do you have exhibit? What is that number exhibit then?
Exhibit four.
All right. Well, I think
this.
I think this one that actually puts people on the edge, say up in the upper right hand corner,
mm-hmm.
and they're hitting, right? And yes. as they hit, they're about.
They're right here.
They're right there. Right. Okay. So they hit there, and the line that's shown there is about 75 yards. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To the house?
Mm-hmm. House. That's what the map is.
So that's a number of about 230 feet.
So where do you have somebody standing and doing this hitting?
Well, that's what the illustration shows. So point out where it is.
Here? They're here,
right,
and
here.
This is 75 yards to
some house.
But that's not the direction.
They're not going to be going the direction.
No, they're not going that way.
But there is another spot where they are hitting towards the
stables.
They
are from here. If they're hitting from down
it's
here,
down here, yeah. Down
they are hitting in that direction, but that is well more than 75 yards. And again, this is a very small shot. And if they are hitting it that hard, they're not using the short game area as it's meant to be used, and they should be hitting on the driving range. And the club has agreed to supervision of the area to ensure that doesn't happen. It's not something that would not be a normal occurrence for this type of.
So where are they hitting from? I mean, that's the question.
Okay, so they'd be hitting from here.
They're hitting from there, so they are hitting from over there.
Right, but from here in this direction.
Yeah.
They'd be hitting from here in this direction, but that's very far away. You have to hit a really, really bad shot. And then you're hitting from the sand.
And they're hitting
onto
back
the green.
From the sand.
Into the green. So this is this is the green, and you're always trying to hit to the green. And try to get it close to the hole.
Oh,
so you're not ever. I mean, you're not hitting here and going this way, or you're not hitting here and purposely hitting it that way.
But you are potentially straying off from the. If you have a bad shot. Right?
If you have a very very bad shot, but you're not. This is, I think, pretty far. Pretty far in the wrong direction, and you're swinging too hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you get anywhere near here.
Yeah.
And so they also are adding a lot of landscaping here. They are removing one 8-inch caliper tree, and they are adding 90 trees and shrubs included in that 90 or 23 trees.
So you mean they get to withdraw from the tree fund?
Yeah.
No, okay. Just checking.
So they already, I was just there this morning, and it is pretty, it is the summer, so all the leaves are on the trees, but it was not, you couldn't really see very much of the houses, and for a golf ball to go all the way through and not hit anything before it got to the house, I think would be extremely unlikely. And yes, in the winter, the trees will be off the leaves, but they're not going to be using it in the winter.
But leaves off the trees.
Leaves off the leaves. The leaves will be off the trees, but they're not. You know, they don't use. They're not going to use this in the winter. No one plays golf in the winter.
But I mean, I think it is the first thing.
Is he a member of the club?
No.
All right, then. At that corner, there is a possibility, which is less likely than from the caddy shack area, or from areas that are further away.
I mean, I guess there's a possibility. I think it's highly unlikely. It's not that if that happens, then people are not using it correctly, and that's more of an issue of enforcement by the club to have people use it. And along those lines, the club, the caddy shack is over here. They have acknowledged that perhaps there were some errant behavior going on at the caddy shack because they hit it because it wasn't a very nice looking building, and so as it's hidden. People may do things that they're not, so they've actually agreed to move the caddy shack regardless of whether or not this petition is approved in order to stop that type of behavior. I mean, no one has seen it happen, but that's the guess, that if you're hitting a hard shot with a very long club, you could, but you're not using the area correctly.
Eve, do we know where they're moving the caddy shack?
That was a question that they do have an idea. We would need to see that on a plan.
Is that going to need a site plan?
Well, not if they put it on the plan before it gets. We can reference the if you can tell us where it's going to go, and then we can reference it, that particular plan, correct?
I think we need to know before we vote on that.
Okay, yeah, so but we can certainly talk about it in the conditions, even if we don't have...
No, I understand that, but in terms of, at the very least, at the vote of the full board, we can't have it until we have a correct site plan.
My suggestion is for them to, they can tell you generally where it's going to be,
right,
and give us a site plan before it goes to the full board, so that you can be voting on the correct site plan that shows the location.
So I'm really thrilled they're moving the Caddy Shack, because it does sound like a problem. Back to this one spot on the fairway where they're supposed to be driving toward the chipping green, they'd have to be 45 degrees off in order to hit on that 75-yard line to the Gables property. Now, I am not a golfer, but mm-hmm. I've just been hearing things, and I remember hearing some stuff at the hearing and other points where I'd like to understand a little better from the experts what kinds of shots are allowed and what kinds of irons are allowed on this practice area. Because as I understand it, certain types of irons can actually hit the ball pretty far, and others really can't.
Right.
So,
I mean,
I know there's a putting iron, and then there's several wedges that are used for different purposes to drive the ball different distances.
In general, the kinds of clubs that they use have a higher loft, so the ball goes up instead of...
I understand.
They don't go as far.
My question, I guess, is, I'm not sure it's for you, Eve.
Okay, fine.
I mean, but if you know, that's great. But I just want to, I mean, there have to be some regulations, I would assume. This is a short game practice area, and you're not intending to drive the ball, so you don't want people to use certain types of clubs. So are there rules about what types of clubs you're allowed to use?
If you want to ask, is there somebody who can answer that?
Yeah,
could you please identify yourself?
John Marino, I'm the president of Chelsea. We have not established any rules as far as the types of clubs you can hit. There are these sorts of short game facilities are around. They've been built at other courses. I don't know that anyone actually has a rule about the clubs you can hit. But people will hit the clubs that people are very likely to hit. Clubs that this will be designed to hit will be, I would say, the most lofted clubs would be, for instance, sand wedges to hit up sand bunkers to hit from relatively short shots, to as low an iron as, depending on how you hit it, you know, let's say an 8-iron, maybe, but even an 8-iron, you swing these clubs, if you watch the pros on TV and you watch them, if they're in front of a green, hitting up to a green, some of them hit a very lofted club, it goes way up in the air, comes down south. Some of them play what's called a bump and run shot, where they'll take a 7-iron and they'll hit it like a putter, and it will bounce up, stay low, and run onto the green. So it's all these types of shots that people will be practicing. If I were to say someone might hit a 7-iron over there, someone might say, wow, 7-iron, you can hit a 7-iron 150 yards, that's crazy. If they were hitting a 7-iron, they would be hitting it more like a firm putt, you know, playing a bump and run shot. It would not be a full swing 7-iron. Now, we're happy to put some rules in that says you cannot hit drivers, fairway woods, any iron lower than a 7-iron. I mean, I can't imagine anyone hitting anything any lower than a 7-iron to practice on this area. And we'd be happy to post rules with that. I honestly don't think it's necessary, but we'd be happy to do it.
I'm asking because I did hear all of these things that you just said, mm-hmm. and certain irons can actually drive a ball fairly far, depending on how they're
hit. Depending on how you hit.
And I wouldn't want to propose establishing rules that make the course untenable, but on the other hand, I wouldn't want to see folks out there abusing the course, nor would you, I imagine, but, you know, that was just my thought. So I didn't know if it was unreasonable to ask for posting, and suggesting it's not.
It would be a little unusual. I mean, I don't know of any of these that actually have rules about what clubs you can or cannot hit at them. Okay. It's generally a common sense thing among golfers but we're happy to, we are happy to do it if it is qualified.
I'm not sure. I mean, that was one thing, and I know Eve has more presentation, perhaps, so I guess the relevant to what people are doing and which way they're trying to drive the shot and how likely it is that the balls would, you know, be a nuisance for the Gables is also the landscaping. So I don't know if you want to wait and get to that.
Well, that's what the slide here to explain a little bit of the landscaping.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm not going to take...
You just put in a video that was supplied by them, was not done at the public hearing. There's been misinformation. My people are off the wall because this is evidence, and they would like to be able to respond. You can rule.
You can respond in writing, and I'm happy to take it. I understand the objection. It's a legitimate objection. I understand we're not going to take oral argument now. Save it for court. Okay,
so this is showing the revised design again, that you're facing in the opposite direction. This is also showing additional landscaping, 90 new trees and shrubs.
Yes.
23 of them are actual trees. It is, as I said, pretty dense right now. Mm-hmm. But it is the summer. I believe at least a few of these will be evergreen trees, so the screening will be. In addition, the club has agreed, if the board would like, to put up a fence that would help with noise and or a barrier for the balls and or a net. And I know that the residents of the Gables don't want to see a net, because it's not particularly good looking, and a fence would certainly be better looking. But if we feel like it's important so that the balls cannot get through, a net would help that.
Alderman Albright, and Alderman Snipper.
Could we find out how many and what type of evergreens and where they're distributed?
There's a landscape architect, I believe, is in the audience.
Is Andrea here? Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you just point out to us which are the evergreens that were added? You can also show what's already there, but I believe that they're all on the Gables property.
Every evergreen that's shown on that plan is new. The evergreens have the spiky outlines.
Okay.
If it helps, I have a colored poster board here that might, if you wanted to look at that, it might be easier to distinguish the types.
This is the same thing that we looked at the site visit? Okay, yeah. Okay. Do you have with you? Can everybody see the landscape plan behind it? I'm sorry, we're having a hard time hearing you. Do you want to just come out and also so you'd be able to point at it or get a laser pointer?
Do you want it up there or where?
This is fine.
Do you want the laser?
I want to be able to hear.
You want to hold it that way so they can see a little bit better.
So let me just, this color, these ones that are bluish, here's, for instance, this is a line of pines that is existing around the parking lot, so it's that color and that outline. Mostly they're further back. Some are interspersed, and then what these are shown are some of the larger firs that we've offered to give to the Gables. I've spoken with both Steve Denham and their landscape person about possibly if they want to locate them in strategic site view areas on their property to block both views and penetration. So that's all on here. The list of the evergreens, which might be familiar to some of you, are firs, hollies, junipers, rhododendrons. The rhodos are shrubs. Some of them will be very large shrubs. The others are all trees that will get to be 10, 15,
And those hollies, they'll grow very tall as well.
The hollies will get tall, the junipers will become tall.
Okay.
How long? Can you see? Years.
How many years?
Well, plants take time.
You know, we're not going to have back and forth.
Sorry, you're right. I'll just mention to you all that they're designated as going in, the junipers to be installed starting at 6 to 7 feet tall, which is not a tiny tree. The firs are that tall also. The ilex to go, start out, which grow faster, those are the hollies that are 4 to 5 feet. So. Plants take a little time. They're not going in huge, but they will become big. Any other questions on that while I'm holding the red dot?
Alderman Cross?
You don't have to hold that. The Fraser firs.
Yep.
How big do they get and how fast do they grow?
Those Fraser firs will get to be 20, 25 feet tall. Those will get to be very large. These are trees that the club has already been healing in, and my understanding is that they're already at 6 to 7 feet tall. They will probably grow 6 inches a year.
Alderman Fishman.
So, Andy, there's a piece in this letter from Cliffbinder, dated June 7th, number 3, that says, the club is amenable to installing a fence not to exceed 6 feet in height along the northerly perimeter of the proposed short game area, in addition to the proposed landscaping. So, if there was a fence that went in there, would that alter your landscape plan, or would you like to modify that in accordance with how the fence would be laid out so that you'd have, you know, maximum landscaping probably on the resident side?
You know, in order to install a fence, you'd have to remove trees. Mm-hmm. Because as most of you walk the site, it's very heavily wooded in here right now. So in order to get a straight line to put a fence, we would have to do more removal. Mm-hmm. Although all of the trees, aside from those six on the gable side, those potential six on the gable side that they're offering to give them to plant there, would also be inside the fence line. You know, I've walked this site several times, and for me, I don't see the need for a fence because it's so thickly planted. I can't even imagine winding your way through, but you could do that. You could sort of put along that 45-foot setback line, mm-hmm. now, behind that, right on the other side of the water, right on this side of the water easement, you could put a fence in there if people think either visually.
But the fence would be what people would face. They wouldn't face the landscaping at that point.
Yeah, it's what would you rather be looking at, the woods or the fence? But the fence would, from both sides, really, in a way, be hidden behind a lot of planting. There's a lot of existing plants there. They've got a lot of plants on their property. Mm-hmm. They've got that walkway, a lot of really tall canopy trees. Then there would be a fence down the middle of it. It's whether it's desired or not. From my perspective, as a landscape designer, site planner, I don't think it's necessary, but if it gives an added degree of assurance.
Well, there are two issues.
To do it, but you would have to remove some of the existing vegetation.
And then there's the possibility of a safety net, which was offered by the Petition and Council. So if you had either or both, presumably you'd have to modify the landscape plan to try to get that in, right?
I think in terms of a plan view at this scale, there would not be much modification to either of those. Okay. The issues with the nets are, they are a little hard to install, and there's ongoing maintenance and what happens with the holes. And also, if the issue is that balls have gone high enough to get over, some of these trees are 60, 65 feet high that already exist. A net can't go higher than the existing canopies, really. You're not going to put a net up higher than 65 feet in the air. So you'd have to decide, is that really going to prove that a ball will never get over there? I'm not sure. That's, again, something, I think either of those options are things you have to think about. Given the thickness, which you can see a little bit along this section at the bottom, this is starting back here at this unit. There's some existing planting, then the walkway, then all of this existing canopy, all of this existing water easement, this amount of planting, it's a very densely planted buffer between the short game practice area and the gables. It's a lot of plant of all levels, from starting low with shrubs, to mid-height, to lower canopy, to tall canopy trees.
Andrea, I just want to make sure we get your name for the record.
And I'm Andrea
address.
Kelly, landscape designer, West Newton.
As far as where the fence would be, we'd, you know, we've got the easement here. Mm-hmm. They couldn't just put the fence on the property line. It'd have to be outside the easement.
Well, no, they could get they could probably get permission from Public Works to put a structure on easement, and we'd give them that permission. And if for some reason we had to take the fence down, we would.
Okay.
But it's we've given permission to property owners to do some kinds of construction on our easements.
But it might make a difference in terms of its effectiveness, where it's going to be. You know, whether it's going to be closer. The fence would be physically closer to the short game playing area, or physically closer to the property line.
And there are a lot of trees in that water easement area.
Alderman Schnipper, then Crossley.
The walking path. You just mentioned where.
Back along in here, along the back side of the units, is a lovely raised flat. It's like a berm that they you refer to as the walking your walking path.
Okay.
And it's behind a lot of this vegetation. On the back side of the back side of those units, and it's about 8 feet wide, maybe, and it's grass. It's not the berm itself. What they walk on is grass. There are plants in and amongst and around it, but it's like a little raised grassy walking area back on their property.
So how far would you say that that is from the stone wall of the water easement?
I can tell you.
Excuse me. Look, I'm not going to say it again. I don't want any comments from the crowd, okay? You're welcome to submit additional comments in writing, but we're not going to have back and forth. Is it clear? Okay. For those of us who went on the site visit, this is fairly close to the property line. I don't know what the actual distance is. There's a stone wall that's on the property line. You know, if you want to go out and see,
right,
you can get permission from the Gables to go see it again. But
in the section, that's the stone wall. That's the property line. Then there's some vegetation, and right around in here is the walking path that goes in the trees. My estimate was more from the edge of the unit all the way back to the property line was the distance. It was I wasn't saying that that was the distance from the walking path to the units. On this plan, so the units are here. This line is the property line, which is the stone wall. The walking path is on this side of this stone wall.
Sidra, there's in a number of in the site plan, I believe, and also in the exhibits that Mr. Chevelle submitted, they've calculated the distances. So you can.
Because one of my concerns is Aaron Falls hitting people who are walking. Because
you mean off the shop, off the practice range? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, off the
short game place.
They'd have to get through a lot of brush to get there.
Yeah. They're showing 75 yards walking down from this point. Here's the game area, which is basically that low grass open area. And here is a 6 foot tall person standing in the middle of it. This is where the people would be standing. So someone would, the question before is if you're over here, say, you would be hitting back this way across and through these trees to get back to the Gables.
Alderman Fishman. If you're following up on Alderman's
chair. Yeah, I just have one question on that. So, but if you are on the walking path,
mm-hmm.
and that 6 foot person is on the edge of the practice,
mm-hmm.
so what would you estimate the distance would be? I mean, it's shorter than the house, so it's, what is it, 100?
The distance from, say, here to the edge of the green?
No, the distance from the, you know, a point on the walking path to the edge of, you know, a fairway shot, or you know, not the green, but not a fairway, but a rough shot, a chip shot, yeah.
That's scaled. I'm not looking at a number, but what I think you're saying is if someone were standing about here on the walking path.
That's good.
How far is it from to there?
No, into the, sort of in the right. Yeah, that's good, right about there.
I think that Attorney Chevelle did provide
yes.
Distances.
Yeah, he has some, I just,
This is a cross section and it's at an angle, and so it's going to differ at each point along there. So I mean,
but it's I think it's fair to say it's about 150 to 167.
All right, so just so we know, Andrea, would you mind just showing us where the walking path is on that? Because that has the property line on it.
Yeah, I think so.
So here's the stone wall.
That should be.
And then there's some vegetation. The walking path is on about this side of the vegetation. it's not a straight shot. You know, there's a little curve to it as it goes behind these units. But correct me, you folks do live there and walk on that. I don't live there, but I walked it the once, and I would say it's about in here.
We had Mr. Chevelle actually submitted for us a number of diagrams that showed and pictures which showed aerial pictures which showed where the path was and what the approximate distances were. If you need those, Sid, we can
look at exhibit.
Is that
look at the first page?
Look at the cover page. So I believe that's from Mr. Chevelle.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps Mr. Chevelle.
There is no. It doesn't look the same as what I have from Chevelle here.
Exhibit 4. Exhibit 4.
Where did you get that link? I don't know. I just have it in my packet of stuff. I think maybe it was here from the public hearing, perhaps.
It might have been at the public hearing, but there's two different packets.
There are many different packets, and I have to tell you, everything is in the FDP folder online. Okay. And you did receive all of the different packets. There have been a number of packets that have come in within the last week. I don't know where that came from. We'd have had it.
Yeah, did it
and it has no cover.
I thought it came in from Attorney Chevelle. We can find out somewhere.
Do you have what came from Attorney Chevelle there?
Yeah.
And something different?
This
has no cover on it. It doesn't indicate.
And it's a winter shot.
Oh, this is
the public
hearing.
Yeah, on the 15th.
Yeah.
That's right. This came with that blue book.
But it was from the opponents.
But we have. I mean, this is the old site plan anyway.
Right.
This is for the new site plan, I believe.
Yeah,
it's the corrected distances. All right.
Back in the blue book. That's why we're going to
Well, again, this is Mr. Chevelle, so this is not the petition.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. But we did do a site visit, so we could, I mean, if you want to get a surveyor, we'll do that. No, we won't. Okay. All right. Alderman Crossley, I'm sorry. You had a question.
That's okay. Andrea, I'm getting a handle on the scale of the drawing here and the plantings, and it's a 90 plants and trees is a lot of plants, but it's also a very long run across here. So I'm just trying to get a realistic sense of the size of things going in, right? So what I'm not familiar with, and obviously if you have a 6 or 7 foot tree in a B&B, that's obvious. The sizes of some other things, like a river birch is a tree, but it's in an, I don't know what a number 15 pot is. Can you just...
Big pot.
Okay.
Some plants come bald and burlapped, wrapped in the roots, and some come in containers, which are called pots.
I understand.
The higher the number, the bigger the pot. That would probably be the equivalent of 5 to 6 feet tall, but you know, birches are also slender. But a number 15 pot for a birch is probably about 5 to 6 feet tall.
Same for the crab apple, same for the oak.
The crab would probably go in a little shorter because they're a smaller understory tree. That would probably be 4 to 5 feet going in. The oak would probably be 6 to 7.
And something in a number 3 pot must be pretty small then.
Those are blueberries, and they're shrubs, and they do go in smaller. They'll probably go in 18 to 24 inches high.
Undercover.
Installation. Yeah.
Okay. In your estimation, so Fraser's only grows 6 inches a year, and I know the country club has the Fraser firs, and it's a nice tree and all of that. How many years will it take for this to fill in? I mean, a dense evergreen cover can actually help be a noise barrier as well, but, you know...
Not so much needle evergreens, honestly. in terms of noise.
Okay.
Not so much laurel, evergreens, but there's still, it's still pretty debatable about the noise barrier factor of those. Paul, you've been watching the first. You might be able to answer that better than the generic book answer if you've been watching it for 30. Do you know about?
I only wrote four houses off of Route 9, and there's some giant hemlocks next door, and there were a whole lot of other trees that came down when the house changed hands 10 years ago. And now we hear Route 9 quite a lot, because all the collect of those two hemlocks. So the tree cover in the summertime actually made a big difference, a noticeable difference. So I'm just wondering, I mean, I'm not sure about, you know, putting a little 6-foot fence in, we're looking at a 6-foot person, I can't imagine that's going to do very much. It's not like a sound barrier on a highway. And it just seems to me that the success of the planting area, the nice deep buffer, 75 feet, is significant. And how soon it will actually be effective as the understory cover. Whether the, how much space there is between each of these diagrams.
Depending on the plant, the spacing is different. You can see the ring of shrubs closer to the edge of the practice area. It's supposed to be a really clear visual barrier. This is the end of where you're supposed to ever walk. Those are planted much closer together. If you put them in too close, they won't grow well, so they might have some area. So some of the trees are at 15 and 20 feet on center because they're going to grow up to be that big when they're becoming mature.
5 years, 10 years?
I think in 5 or 10 years it's going to be pretty dense. The way I really viewed it was an augmentation of the existing woods rather than a totally separate. I thought of it as kind of a continuation of the New England woods with a lot more evergreens than are there now. Right now, you don't really have very many evergreens in those woods. Mm-hmm. The evergreens are both for the visual and the sound barrier qualities that it might provide to the gables.
Those American hollies are going to get big and wide.
Yeah, they do. Okay, I just wanted to have a conversation about it to get get a sense of.
There's always with plants that. You put that in to look like an instant landscape and then regret it in 5 years. You have to go back. And I don't imagine people going back and transplanting these trees. I think it's a continuation and a thickening of the woods that exist at all levels. But that's the other thing that this new buffer zone is providing is kind of a combination of deciduous and evergreen at from 18 inches to 30 feet high over time, all filling within that. Right now, you've got mostly kind of scrub growth in there of self-seeded locusts and some taller trees. There's not a lot all filling in those lower and middle ground plants. And thinking of balls coming, possibly that's what you want to do. You want to just create this density of heights and textures that would grab balls and stones, if anything were to happen. Oh, yeah, go that way.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on the landscape? Okay. Eve?
Oops. Okay. A number of the issues that came up at the public hearing was comparison to other short game areas at other courses and operational issues. So below here is information that was provided by the petitioner in response to what other clubs do. This is the year that the course was built. This is the year that the short game area was built. The number of greens, the size of the greens, and you'll see that the Charles River proposed is on the higher side, but also the newest one is Whale of the Lake Country Club, which is here, and that is the same size. So the trend is in that area. And again, the question was location as to where they are at the club, and most of them are within 200 yards of the clubhouse. Okay. All of them might be within, except for this one.
First, they're going to take Alderman Fishman, then...
The only thing I wondered was the column that says longest shot. What's the longest shot? Because the Wellesley lot, the Wellesley, which is a comparable area of 10,000, has a longer shot of 160 yards versus this one. So what's the longer shot column? Or longest shot?
I don't know. I assume it's where it's from where the little from
is this,
from where you're pointing into how where the green is. Maybe the I don't know if the green this, the sorry. My understanding of this chart is that they're measuring the size of the green, not the size of the whole area. So the whole area is almost an acre, if I remember correctly.
So
the green itself is 10,000 square feet.
If we could just ask whoever prepared this and submitted, was the petitioner prepared this in response to questions that were raised at the public hearing, just so I understand, by the longest shot, do you mean from where you anticipate somebody's going to be taking a shot to the green?
Yes.
And so the area around the green and Wellesley may be larger than an acre, but the green is the same size. So it's not the size of the area. It's not the size of the short game area. It's the size of the green on the short game area.
I'm sorry, Alderman Crossley, then Alderman Fishman.
So what's the longest shot plan? So it's a planned shot. So what's the longest planned shot on the course we're considering?
It says here 50 yards. Hard to see.
60. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Oh, 50, the first one.
Right,
right. Country Club. Mm-hmm.
60. It doesn't say new, that's why I can't tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, right, the very top one
that
doesn't have a location.
Alderman Fishman?
So, I was going to ask the same question about Wellesley, but the other thing which, doesn't jump out here, and I don't know if the petitioner's prepared information, and that is where these locations are vis-a-vis residential areas.
We don't know.
Okay. But you have statistics about it. You didn't collect those.
Jim O'Mara, the golf coach, did this by talking to the officials of other clubs, and he asked these specific questions. I don't believe Jim asked about the surrounding neighborhoods or specifically asked that information.
I think part of the question was, at least the way I understood it at the public hearing, was, why does it need to be near the clubhouse? Why can't it be located somewhere else at the Charles River Country Club that would be further away? And so that's why the question asked was how far it is from the clubhouse. So they are all very close because that is you're going to tee off everything, the first tee and the driving range and short game area all should be near each other.
But they actually vary from 100 yards, 50 yards to 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the average is about 200 yards. There's two that are significantly more. Yeah.
800 and 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know where the one in Braeburn is, because that's surrounded by
houses. That's surrounded by residential.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 250 yards from the clubhouse.
But we don't know where it is to the residential.
Right.
Again, just to clarify, this was in response to the question that was raised at the public hearing. I mean, if you have, when we get done with going over the issues, then I'm going to just reconnoiter, see if there's any additional questions people need answered.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. The other issue that was brought up is operational issues, and they have agreed.
But before you get to this.
Yep.
So the issue was about where these short games are, and then I don't know if you want to talk about alternatives separately.
I can tell you a little bit about.
You can talk about that now. That's fine.
Because I think before you get into the operational stuff,
right?
Maybe through the alternatives.
They did look at other sites. Some of them are shown on the letter that was sent by Mr. Finder today.
Yeah.
The issues really were topographic problems. There's ledge in a number of areas that look like from the aerial view that they're nice and open, and why can't we put it there? And there would be blasting. They're also, I don't have a picture of the whole course. So
1,000 trees would have to be removed from
that area. This is the first tee. You have to walk across the fairway to get from the clubhouse. You guys can tell me if I'm doing this wrong.
But can I interrupt for a second? This letter came in today. It has a token on it. Reasonably difficult to read unless you're in a helicopter and you go down to the earth. And at the site visit, we actually didn't walk to it. I don't know exactly the reason, but we also didn't have a map that showed the areas, and some of them are further away. But the one that struck me is something that, at least was worthy of understanding. And if you've seen this, perhaps, not today, but in your travels, I'd be interested in your opinion for Exhibit C of the bookbinder letter today, which is next to the existing chipping green, which I think is behind the clubhouse,
right,
between the driving range. And when it says driving range, is that where the driving range begins, or is that where it ends? I mean, do people tee off there?
Okay. I can give you a little bit of explanation because I spent some time there this morning.
Good.
So, again, this is where they're proposing it. This is the clubhouse. This is the first tee, and it goes, the fairway goes in this direction. And this is the current driving range, and it goes in this direction. And there is a fence that goes along the edge of the driving range. This area, I think you can see the sand bunkers. That is where the existing short game area is, that is much smaller than what they're proposing. That's the existing chipping green. Mm-hmm. They did this whole section on here and on here, which we saw today, is all ledge. So you have to pretty much go up a hill, and it's rock on the side. So it's grassy on top where they have the green and just a little bit around, but if they wanted to expand it in this direction, they'd be in closer to the clubhouse, they'd be blasting. Closer to the first tee, they'd be blasting. Also, they hit from up here, and it would be a bit of a danger if you moved it too much closer to the first fairway that you'd get hit. In addition, they did consider moving it this way, further down, so making it longer. And again, this is the driving range, and there are fences here, but the way that a golf ball runs, the trajectory is shorter, you know, it goes on its way up. So at the very front here, and where the chipping range is, it's a low ball, and it's going to hit the fence and not go over. The longer the shot, the higher the trajectory, the fence wouldn't be able to build a fence that was tall enough. And so if you made the driving range go too much further, you'd have a safety issue from people who are hitting off the driving range.
Sure.
So they did look at those issues, and they felt that it's not safe because you might get hit, and people wouldn't use it because they'd be afraid they'd get hit.
Right. So follow-up question?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So because this map, this Exhibit C,
mm-hmm.
I understand the first hole, I understand, you know, people teeing off, I understand the ledge. The other question is, on the other boundary of this is the driving range.
Mm-hmm.
Is this integral to the club's activity? Is this something that a lot of other clubs have? Is this something that is actually necessary to the operation of the club?
The short game area?
No, the driving range.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because...
You can ask them.
It's heavily used.
There were a number of people using it.
Did you see it this morning?
Yes.
People are doing it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So can we get a confirmation that it's integral to the club?
The driving range.
Don't ask me.
Well, you're the chairman.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Through me. Yes. The last petition. I mean, they're going to say it's...
Yes.
Yes.
The driving range is...
Was that helpful?
It's crucial to have it. You must be running a full swing practice area, which you could call the driving range. That's a crucial element for a club. More important,
short,
my opinion,
than the
as the president of the short game practice area.
And it's not to put words in your mouth, but every one of these guys on the list, they have driving ranges and all this?
I don't know.
Okay. But your club...
I didn't create that list.
But your club is important.
But that's a list of short game playing areas?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you a golfer?
I am.
Can you tell?
Kind of a personal question.
I am. I've never played here.
To get that in.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Right. So he was explaining to me, and I was nodding. But I do understand that not everyone is involved.
Before I have Eve move on, are there any other questions about the topic, bullet one, first bullet? Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Operational issues?
Operational issues.
I just want to reserve my right to ask questions about its locations and residential areas. But we can get back.
We'll get back at the end.
Okay. So the planning memo says they have, they anticipate it being open from 7 a.m. to dusk. They have since revised that and said that they would open at 8 a.m., not 7 a.m. They also have agreed to limit
the availability of the short game area only to members and guests, and if they have outside groups using the course, as some of these do for fundraisers and other type events, they're going to close this short game area so that they'll always, it will always be used by some sort of a member, which, you know, is kind of like an ownership issue. If another member is acting out or hitting a ball that's going to be errant, the club will know about it, as opposed to a bunch of outsiders who wouldn't necessarily.
Alderman Albright?
Regarding hours of operation, could I know what time the pool opens up? What time does the pool open?
That's not really in this, but...
No, just for noise sake, I don't know.
I should know if the adults ones at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? Mm-hmm. That's what I needed. Thank you.
And, again, they intend to have it supervised, you know, where there's a person who is in charge, the starter, and who will be walking around the area. The caddy shack will be removed and moved elsewhere. But there will be, you know, eyes walking around. And again, the conversation I had this morning with Ms. Marino was that the members tend to police themselves, that they want to use this area for their own practice, and they don't want someone goofing off and killing their concentration. So it's really for serious golfers who are very intent on their game. Let's see, any other operational issues? They're going to use non-impact sprinklers.
So question about the operational?
Yeah.
So you say it's for serious golfers, and they'll police it. So what about, you know, at night? Is somebody over there during the entire time it's in operation?
There isn't going to be someone standing there per se. There is a starter who walks around in various places because I think there was a conversation somewhere about whether there's a loudspeaker, Mr. Jones, your tee time's up. They do not do that.
Yeah.
So the starter knows they have radios, and there are a number of staff people. They'll call on the radio, it's Mr. Jones's time, and they'll go up to the putting green or to the driving range or wherever he is and tell them.
But it was referenced at the. It was referenced at the public hearing. I think you made the reference that people coming home from work who aren't going to play that day, they want to go practice their shots after work, I guess until dark or something. So that's a different kind of crowd.
Yes, but there will be someone whose job it will be to walk around to just make sure that everything is. I mean, there's going to be someone standing there the whole time. But there'll be, you know, you'll do your rounds and you'll walk to different areas and make sure that...
So you're saying it's the management there during the hours that people may be using it.
Yep. And there won't be any light, so you won't be able to play after it gets dark.
Thank you.
All
right.
And they will install no smoking policy. And I think there was some talk about making it, you know, letting people know it's a quiet area. And then we get to wetlands and drainage. I don't have a picture of it. The land surveyor for the project submitted a letter stating that the proposed work for the short game facility will not have an adverse effect on the existing drainage patterns, and it's not in riverfront or wetland or buffer.
We got this letter when? Last week?
No, it was included in the package from Mr. Bookbinder last week, yes.
Last week, okay.
And
Monday.
I called out all of the attachments.
Okay.
And Exhibit D of what you got today has
a
picture of it as well.
Two letters from Fire Important.
And again, the last piece is sort of an operational issue. The club will relocate the caddy shack in case it was contributing to the poor behavior. I mean, we don't know that for sure, but they're willing to move it, so it may be helpful. We'll just need to know where they're going to
have to do something
before the.
But the presumption is they're not moving it closer to the residence. Right?
No. They'd be moving it actually to more of an area. I mean, I think when they put it there and then they thought it wasn't a very nice looking building, so they planted around it so that the members wouldn't be able to see the building. But then that gave sort of a cloak of invisibility to the people that were there, and so they're going to move it so that it's.
Closer to the groundhogs.
Yeah.
Don't go right to moving. Right.
Moving it closer to the operation of the club, which is helpful anyway, and also will allow for some additional supervision.
But we will get that before we go tonight.
Yes.
So. Do they have an idea?
I don't know. Do you have? Do you have an idea of where it's going to go? What's the best picture?
Do you have a site plan that we can look at that's large enough to...
Where's the overhead? Yeah. There's the overhead. Okay.
Could you just point to us and use the laser?
There are two spots. I wasn't prepared to give you a specific spot, but if you need one, I will give it to you. There is, right, that's the first T, okay? Caddyshack right now is
parking lot.
Yeah, it's right there. Right. There is a little practice putting green right there, and in between there's a little area where there's some tree cover, but it's somewhat open, and there is a little starter's hut on the back of the first tee. We could put the Caddyshack there. Well, we could put it back where it originally was, which I believe Charlie was right over here in that area. Now, which is close to the bag room, the clubhouse, the main practice facility. So we had, you know, those are two, it would be one of those two spots, and if I need to pick one, I will pick one for you.
We'll help you.
Okay, which one would you prefer?
Any thoughts?
Second one.
The yes. second one? This one right here?
The ladder. Yeah.
That one. Okay. Then that's where the Caddyshack would go.
All right. Any other issues or before? Because I just want to round this up, but I don't want to cut anybody off. If got other questions or concerns. Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to present before we? What I want to do now, I guess, is just find out if there's any unanswered questions people have that they feel like they need before they can vote on this. So if people have things that are that they'd like to see, I know Mitch, you've got some questions about the other courses and their short game playing areas, how close they are to actual residential areas. I don't think we have that information tonight. I trust that the petitioner could get it for you. But are there any other questions? Is that accurate, or do you have other questions as well? I don't want to.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I have other questions, but I have questions on things we've talked about.
Well, let me ask it this way then. Do you have questions that the petitioner can answer, other than questions you have about, you know, the merits of the project?
No, I mean, I'm not talking about merits of the project. I'm talking about the questions that were raised in today's letter, which is the netting, the fencing, and how that relates to the landscaping. And you know, again, we heard a little bit of testimony from the landscape.
I think Andrea covered that, but there's other questions.
But I mean, to the extent that it was covered, it sounded like it was not particularly feasible. So, I mean, that's the question I have. Is it feasible?
So let's split that out. Are you talking about the fence? Are you talking about the net? Are you talking about both?
I think there's three possibilities. They put a fence in, they put the netting in, or they put both.
Okay.
I think the netting in sounds like they're feasible. The question is, would they be useful? Would they help? And I think that's where it falls short. Both of them fall short. Because the netting isn't higher than the trees, and the fences are too low.
Alderman Crossley.
I have no idea, but putting netting up into 60-foot canopies, is that an environmental hazard of any kind? I mean,
Yeah.
It seems very like a very messy thing to do.
I mean, golf courses do have them, but they're not pretty. I think
if
that's
you go up to
I don't know about the
is it Leo Leo Martin?
Chestnut Hill has it.
Chestnut Hill has it also? Yeah.
I think it was one of the issues with the B'nai B'rith house.
Yeah.
They have netting?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do have netting.
And what are they? They're near a golf course?
They're next to a golf course.
They're right next. Well, it's not the B'nai B'rith's netting. It's the Commonwealth Golf Course's netting.
Right.
And B'nai B'rith didn't want it, and the golf course said, we're putting it in.
Do they catch balls?
I don't know, but I assume that's the only reason why they would put it in.
Is it in the trees, or is it in on
the It's pole? Freestanding.
I think it's freestanding. Yeah. It's not in the trees.
Yeah, that's the difference here.
We'd be hanging this literally in the trees.
So we're kind of getting into discussing the merits, which is fine, but I just want to make sure, no, it is. It's just, I want to make sure that if there's any questions any of the aldermen have, that they need answered before we can start the discussion on the merits, that we get those first. And as I understand, the one question I think Alderman Fishman has outstanding is proximity to residential areas of these SGPAs with the SPAs.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty funny. Huh?
Yeah. That had me confused when I read the memo.
Me too, when I first
SGPA, that's the special permit.
Permit granting authority.
Alderman Fishman.
Again, I would dispute whether we can get into, I mean, we can get into the merits anytime we want to, but I'm just saying this issue about how it would work and whether, you know, I mean, some of us relate visually, others are looking to see if there's a practical issue, but all we have are two paragraphs in this letter that suggest they would be willing to do it. So how do you know, how do we know what it means to, if we want them to do it? What's it going to look like? How's it going to be done? How's it going to relate to the landscaping? And then there's a question that once we look at it, how do the neighbors relate to that? A certain element of, you know, would they rather have an errant golf ball or would they rather have netting up there? Because in one sense, I'm indifferent because I don't live there. I mean, I'm not indifferent, but I mean, I'm indifferent. If being a neighbor, you know, there's pluses and minuses on that issue. Now, those are also kind of issues that if this committee were to pass it, you could leave it up to the planning director to make that determination at some time in the future, which in fact was one of the things that was...
Well, we can just discuss it as a possible condition. The way I view this is not going to the merits so much as going to a condition that mitigates the impact of the project. And if you know, as a committee, we think we want to recommend that they have the nets, or that we recommend that it be subject to planning approval, or that we recommend that it be subject to other triggers that not yet discussed, I mean, we can discuss that. But I don't see it as...
Well, we can't get any further right now.
Well... I think we can discuss it.
But I mean, we can't get more definitive information.
Well, I think we got the information we got from the landscape architect as to, you know, where it would be and what the issues would be with it. I think Alderman Crossley sort of summarized it, that, you know, you have issues with, can't put it above the canopy, or it's not desirable to do that, and, you know, there's potentially that it interferes with the canopy. And I think, and I'll ask Mr. Chevelle to correct me if I'm wrong, that the neighbors are not, you're not in favor of it. Is that accurate? Of the net?
We got the net today.
Yeah.
And I have a letter that responds to it. So I don't think we're ready to respond to the net. We have objections to the net. I know you got Steve's letter, so I'm ready to put in.
Yeah. I mean, do we already have that?
No.
Okay.
I got the letter wrong.
That's fine. Well, do you want to submit it tonight? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm happy to take that tonight. Hand it to Linda. All right. Okay, so where do you want to go from here? What I'm basically trying to get is whether people feel like they're ready to begin discussion on this tonight, potentially have a vote on this tonight, or whether they have additional questions they'd like answered before they'd like to have this discussion and take a vote on this tonight. So I'd like to hear from the members of the committee, you know, the sense of the committee, whether they feel like this is ready to rock and roll. Or do you want to... take some more time, get answers.
I don't know how many there are. You have it? Right.
So does anybody have any thoughts? Alderman Fishman.
I would like to take some more time. I would like to look at the alternative site. I would like information on the location adjoining residential area. I would like to...
Can I just say, though, I mean, as far as the alternative sites go, we're voting on the special permit application that's before us. So, I mean, it's either up or down. I mean, they'd have to come back and resubmit. They can't just amend the site plan to put it someplace else. So, I mean, I don't think that's something that we were going to consider.
I think we asked the question, and Mr. Bookbinder provided us information in his recent letter. Yep. So I guess I want to understand his letter, which I don't at this point, aside from, you know, what he said to us. So I just.
But I mean, I just want to make clear, yeah. As far as putting it someplace else, we're not going to recommend that they put it someplace else.
Well, let me put it this way. If I think it's feasible someplace else, I'm going to vote against
it. It's circulating anymore.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's part of my decision making that I have to do. So, in a sense, you know, I'm not ready to vote on it tonight for that. And I'd also like to know more information about the short game practice areas, how they relate to. How they relate to the residential areas.
Yep.
And I actually, since I guess this came in on... This came in actually last week. I'd actually like to see a couple of these myself.
A couple of what?
What?
A couple of these locations.
You're welcome to go.
No, I'm just... I'm not talking about a site visit. Yeah.
Want to understand logistics. If I'm remembering correctly, last evening we approved an extension of time.
Yes, we did.
But that ran out before the board meeting.
The August board meeting, right.
Yeah.
So
we would have to ask for another extension if we were going to... petitioner's counsel is telling me that's no problem.
Okay, because otherwise we'd have to have this ready for the 11th.
Right.
Understood.
Right, we knew.
Okay, so that...
Okay. That's why I want to get a sense of the committee before we go forward with this tonight. Alderman Merrill.
Yes, here again, we're faced with a decision. And they're friends on all sides. One thing that does bother me is a position I've taken right along, and that is to protect the residential character of our neighborhoods. And I find that this is a very important factor here. I have no relationship to anyone living in Davis, but I know that's a very fine development. And it bothers me that somewhere along the line that the good folks at the country club can't find an alternative area and divert this practice area away from these homes. Earlier I said something about the slicing, you know, and I could care less than put 500 trees up, don't walk the way getting through. I'm dead set against the fence going up. And I drive down into New York City and on that roadway going down, and I see a big fence up. It's very ugly looking, particularly in the fall, the winter, and the spring. So here again, I want to protect the neighborhood here. Well, if I can, if I have to vote against this, then hopefully the club can come forward with another location where everyone can say, yeah, this is good.
All right. I'll reiterate again. We have to vote on the petition that's before us.
Right.
They may have another location. If that affects your vote, you can take that into consideration. But we're not going to be voting on putting it someplace else.
But, I just want to make my position.
I understand. Yep.
Very deep concern. You heard me the other night.
Yep. I just want to be clear for everybody that's in the room that it's not within our jurisdiction to say, well, we don't like where you put it, but put it over here. Well, that's not what we do.
I'm getting your thought process going.
Yep.
Is that a good word?
That's excellent. Alderman Albright?
So I know the pool isn't part of this. But the board recently, within the last, 6 years, approved some modifications to the pool. And if there's anything that makes noise in the neighborhood, it's a swimming pool with lots of kids swimming. And it made a noise on all those neighbors that complained on the front part, you know, on the Dedham Street side that complained about it. And this board approved that pool. And that's going to create a whole lot more noise than the six people playing on the short. I just for consistency's sake, I know we don't have to be consistent with ourselves, and as a matter of fact, I voted against the pool, but this board approved the pool, and so I just want to point that out.
All right. We don't. I'll get to Alderman Blazer and Fishman. Let me take the questions. I want to talk about the criteria.
Okay.
For it, but we'll wait until after we get the other questions. So I want to get everybody's questions out first. Alderman Fishman, then Blazer.
So, I usually don't like to comment on another person's comment.
Well, then don't do
that. Feel free.
But you have to state the pool objectively, too. that the noise barrier that's along Dedham Street is not just a fence. It's actually a fence that provides a noise buffer.
There's no fence there. It's just a parking lot. It's just a parking lot there, which I also objected to.
It's a gigantic fence. It doesn't actually go along the gable side.
That part has no fence.
The gables had no fence because we had no input from the gables at the time, and it didn't seem to be a noise issue, but we actually did address the noise issue on Dedham Street, even though the abutter who raised that issue eventually sued. But we
tried,
did.
Tried
we did.
To sue.
Well, he sued.
He did
sue.
For a while. Amen. Alderman Blazer?
Well, I don't have any objection to extending this tonight. I do think that some of the things that are being asked for, such as the proximity of residential areas to other short-term practice facilities, are mostly irrelevant to the material of the last situation here. And we can drag this on for quite a time if you want. Well, I think this is a difficult decision for a lot of us. And I don't think it's going to get any easier. But if some Baldwin want some more time to respond, I understand why the Gables would want more time to respond, because everything gets got mailed to us very quickly, and I just, you know, it's hard to rush this through. On the other hand, I think we're going to be back here in any event and going to have a tough vote. So I don't know if that helps anybody, but it just seems to me that if you want to get more information, if you want more information, We should probably take the time to get it, but I still don't think it's going to help very much any people.
Let me be very candid about my concern. My concern is I don't want to vote out of this committee that has half or more of the committee abstaining because they feel like they need more time or more information. I think that's a waste of time for everybody here, and it doesn't do right to the neighbors, it doesn't do right to the petitioner, and I don't think it serves the committee or the board very well.
My
preference is that if, I'll poll rank, if people don't feel like they're ready to decide tonight, I don't want to vote it out, because the last thing I want to do is have a land use report that goes out saying we feel like we didn't have enough information, so we abstain. I think that means that we didn't do our work. So let's finish our committee work. If there are questions that people need answered or feel would help their decision, we should do that. My opinion. I'm just one of eight. I happen to be more equal than the rest of you. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Alderman Albright and then Alderman Crawford.
I think you're right, but I think we should be very clear what the question. What are the
Correct.
Outstanding questions, and then come back with those.
Yes, because I don't want a situation where we pose questions to the petitioner, and we allow the opportunity of the Gables to respond to the letters that have come in, and then it just raises more questions that if you can raise them now. So I do want to. There is a point in time with which we need to close this out. I think it's important that if there are questions, and I take Alderman Fishman's questions into consideration, Alderman Merrill's comments, all valid. I think we ought to have an opportunity to do that. I know that the Gables wants time to respond to what's been presented tonight as well as to some of the correspondence. So the sense I'm getting is that we should hold it until another working session in order to get those questions answered. Alderman Schnipper.
I do apologize that I was unable to make the site visit. Is it possible for me to meet with somebody to, because truthfully, I need to see them.
I understand.
I feel a real lack in not having some.
Can we, to be fair, I want to make sure that both council have an opportunity to present same site visit that we got, which was, just for the record, we visited the short game area as proposed. We traveled through the wood buffering between the two properties, across the water easement, onto the Gables property, saw where that stretch of the walking area is located. We didn't take any measurements, but we did, have the opportunity to see where the green's going to be, where the sand traps are going to be, and there was stakes still up,
yeah.
So that Alderman Schnipper or whoever else wanted to go. And I just want to also make sure that the neighbors council has notice that's going to happen, so that if people want to be present, they can be there. So can we arrange that, you folks,
sure,
amongst yourselves?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to go to school.
Okay, so and anybody later. Else, any other members?
He prefers later in the day, I believe.
Okay.
As does Alderman Merrill.
Okay, I'll leave you all
they
to work out.
They don't like the 7 or 7.
I'll leave you all to work out the times, and those of us who are early
birds. Do a later one for the late birds.
All right, I'll leave you all to work out the times. Are there any other questions, Alderman Fishman?
I don't have a question, but I actually want to make a statement.
About
the site visit.
Okay.
Because I think if you're going to go on the site visit, it'd be interesting to see the reaction that you have. And the one thing that I saw on the site visit, which actually, to me, was in favor of the Charles River proposal, is actually the topography change that goes on in the area. The Gables is part of that area is actually lower. The area where one of the residents said that there was a golf ball is actually crops about 25, 30 feet below where the stone wall is. And the area getting to the stone wall is varied topography, and it actually starts to go up a little bit. So the topography is something that we hadn't seen on the plans because they were pretty well flat. But I think, again, I think it would be useful for you guys to see that and, you know, come to your own judgment.
As long as people are going again, I would ask that somebody have somebody on the Gable side and then have people on the short practice area talking at a normal voice, and just so that you can hear what that's like.
And please wear long pants and socks.
Appropriate shoes. Right.
There is poison ivy.
Right.
Or we could drive around.
Or you could drive around.
Then you don't get the experience.
You don't get the experience. You don't really.
I think we can work out an arrangement. We whack a little bit more after all that. Okay.
All right. Yeah. But.
No, you can't.
No, it's too rushed.
Alderman Crossley, then Fishman.
Well. I guess I just wanted to make a comment. It's clear that people want to wait to do this. It just seems to me that, I'm not sure where this goes, but sometimes I've observed in these things that when something is proposed in their area and they get to have a say in it, other things come up that are not related to the proposal that are problematic, and so people don't want to have the next thing come along. I think in this case there's some issues there. I mean, we talked about the caddy shack and the balls that go over, and I think some certain things were raised that the country club is going to take care of. Unless the facts that are presented as facts in the Buckbinder piece about the alternative sites for the short game practice area, unless they're incorrect, which I don't think they are, I mean, looking at those plans, it seems clear that this is, that they would either have this practice site here or not. It seems to me that the country club has taken a very careful and pretty thorough approach to mitigation on its own. And, you know, it's hard for me to see that there's a reason left that makes this a dangerous area. But I do think there are valid concerns about noise and disturbance that are already present in the country club. And I guess I just wanted to say that, because it may just be that this proposal has brought to the front some things that need to be corrected anyway, that aren't necessarily related to this.
Well, Alderman Schnipper.
I think it's very important that we talk about possible scheduling.
Yep.
Because we're going into summer and we don't want
we have a problem.
A meeting where people can be here. So I think all of this, you know, fits into what our time frame is.
Well, I was going to save this for the end of the meeting, but since you raised it, we do have a lot of stuff going on. We did get 3 withdrawals last night, so we've got a little less work than I was anticipating. But the unanticipated or unexpected result of having these blackout periods in the summer is that people rush to get things in before the blackout periods. And so we ended up getting Chestnut Hill Shopping Center coming in at just in the nick of time. So we're going to be holding a public hearing on that project on the 21st of June. We have three next Tuesday,
the 14th. Just Meadows Shopping Center, the 21st.
I haven't met with the planning department yet.
Are you saying public hearings?
Mm-hmm. We have public three hearings. Public hearings next Tuesday, the 14th. Yeah. Hopefully we can turn around.
I mean, from what I know now, right. It looks like we can turn those around the same evening. They're not complicated. They're small residential projects. Nevertheless, we want to give every project the time it deserves. And then the 21st is going to be a public hearing, but I absolutely do not anticipate
a working session
that evening on Chestnut Hill Shopping Center.
So we have Day
we
Street.
We also have 68 Day Street.
It's outstanding, right? Day Street. You have one that's coming in for July, perhaps, Elm Border. I'm not sure what else is coming.
Okay.
July 12th, Land Use Public Hearings. That's the Tuesday after the one full board in July. Alderman Fishman will be chairing because Alderman has some hands away.
My family kind of insisted on that.
So you're looking at scheduling some working sessions in July, and that's going to be up to everybody here.
So I need to get
depending
to know,
on vacation plans and so forth.
I need to know whether people are going to be even available in July.
Right.
When in July are you talking?
Well, not the 5th because nobody's ever around that week.
Yeah, but the following week would be the 19th.
The 19th, the 26th.
I won't be around that. The week of the 25th, I won't be around.
But the week of the 18th, you will.
I will.
Okay. Is there anybody else who won't be around the week of the 18th? I see Alderman Crossley won't be around that week.
I don't know.
Okay,
you're hoping not to be around that week.
Okay. And Alderman Albright, you're not around the last week, right?
No.
Anybody else who's got a scheduling conflict for the week
so
of the 18th?
So far, if we know, right?
I think I'm more around then.
Okay. We're going to try for that to do a working session that week then. And we're not going to schedule enough a public hearing, are we, or are we?
Well, no. I mean, the 12th should be it for public hearing.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And I believe we have one. I'm not sure what else is in the pipeline for July.
Almond Border.
You've got a couple. I have a list on my desk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that looks like that's
that may be a little complex.
That's the entire set. Okay.
And we'll give an extension as long as everybody needs. This is something where there's no immediacy, there's no urgency. We recognize this is an organizing process. And we wouldn't be building it for late in the fall anyway, and I don't even know if we can get that far. So we can give an extension. Linda, you'll let me know when
we can call it. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. All right. The last thing I want to do, unless anybody else has any other questions on this item, is I did have a discussion with our city solicitor, associate city solicitor, who met with the planning department and ISD to talk about the criteria here, because I think it's very important before you come in for the next meeting, and perhaps I should have done this at the beginning. I apologize for not having to do that, and I know that we just spoken with both counsel for Gables as well as counsel for and for the ledges also, as well as counsel for the petitioner about the standard that applies here. So just want to briefly explain.
Sure. I think it became clear to me when I was listening to the public hearing presentation, and I've heard this in other instances, not just this one, that where you have a non-conforming use or non-conforming structure and the petitioner is coming in for a special permit under 3021B, and also which is the process that you use if you are getting a special permit under 3021A2A, which is what was up on the board a minute ago, that people then also look to the criteria that are in our 3024, which is the standard procedure we use for granting special permits. And I think we need to be very clear that where you're dealing with a non-conforming structure and or a non-conforming use, what you've got here is the non-conforming use aspect, that you look strictly to our 3021B standard, which is the not substantially more detrimental to the surrounding neighborhood standard. That's consistent with the state law provisions under Section 6 of 40A, which also is the relevant provision dealing with nonconforming structures and nonconforming uses. So again, the appropriate standard to use in analyzing whether you're going to grant this particular requested relief is whether or not in granting the permit, the Board of Aldermen shall make a finding that such change, extension, or alteration shall not be substantially more detrimental than the existing nonconforming use to the neighborhood and shall impose such conditions as may be necessary to protect the neighborhood from injury. So that's the standard you're looking for. It's in 3021B. I don't think we get into the provision under 3024 that talks about the specific uses in appropriate location. The uses developed and operated will not adversely affect. There are four different criteria, which are pretty thin, frankly, in 3024, which is what we typically look to if you've just got a straightforward garden variety special permit. Rather, it's the Section 6, not substantially more detrimental
and
standard.
Before I let Alderman Albright ask a question, I'm just going to anticipate a question that I had, which is the in terms of not substantially more detrimental, less than the existing conditions.
Than the existing conditions, yeah.
Does that include the special permits we previously granted?
Yeah.
I know Alderman Albright had a question about, you know, setting a precedent. I just want to make sure that we're clear on what the legal standard is.
Yeah.
Facts aside, let's...
It's the use as it's operating right now with all the special permits that have been granted over time.
Was that your question?
No, actually it wasn't, because I heard conversation earlier about the issue of public good, and that doesn't come into it, right?
That's not the standard that we're looking at, no.
Pardon?
I think that was in Mr. Chevelle.
Not with the standard that we're looking at.
No, okay. No. I do think it's confusing. This isn't the only time I've heard that argument out there, but I just want to be really clear that this is the non-conforming standard. I don't know that Attorney Chevelle will agree with that, but that's a point of contention he can take up with court.
And just so we're clear, this all the ordinance as well as 48 section 6
yes.
has the same standard.
Yeah.
So this is the state law as well as the local special
permit yeah.
ordinance. Okay.
So are we saying the next working session here then will be July
19th? Whatever the third Tuesday, is that
yeah.
you had it?
Don't you expect it's going to take that long to get back to it?
Because we have so many other things that we're doing.
So then it won't come up to the full board.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure about the 28th. I'm not sure Reese's name, but there are two other committees that night. Committee
yeah,
preservation.
No.
If
besides
we get rid of those committees.
Which one?
Yeah, besides
right,
people are
going
to be out of town anyway.
Are you talking about the 28th
of July?
No, I'm talking about June.
Oh, June.
Community right. preservation is meeting that
I don't know who's meeting that night.
I hope
We're waiting on the...
You're the chair.
Well, we're waiting on the audience for JAPG. I'm not really sure where that...
meeting that night.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's
they don't necessarily meet. They don't always meet, right. Right.
Dedham Street, so
June.
Excuse me? Yeah, Dedham Street, but I don't know when we're meeting again on that.
But
it's not the
that's just, I just threw that out. That would be four Tuesdays in a row for this committee.
Chestnut Hill Shopping Center, I'm not sure when we're going to be ready to do that. I was anticipating that would be the July 19th.
So we do this, Day Street and Chestnut Hill Shopping
Center?
Oh, was that when we were planning?
Oh, well, I don't know.
I was hoping to unload that one on Mitch.
Well, the 12th is public hearing. We can flip the ones that are going to public hearing probably
yeah.
on the 12th. But
we would need to do Day Street prior to that. They've only given us an extension through August. But these people don't care about this. This is internal.
We'll deal with Day Street. Let's one thing at a time. Eve, I had one other question. The video you showed us, is that on... our website, is that posted?
I don't think so.
All right, I want to make sure we have a copy for Mr. Chevelle so that he can respond to that in writing and the objections that he may have.
Right, and I would also consider that in the nature of a chalk, because the testimony had already come in at the public hearing orally as to what it is, and I think all you've gotten is visual chalk.
I understand that, and I agree with you. On the other hand, I'm just in fairness, I'm going to give him an opportunity to respond if he wants to respond to it, but he's got to have a copy of it to respond to.
I will get it posted on the website.
Okay. Anything else? Questions, comments?
I have one question.
Yes.
A draft board order did not come with your packet for this project because we had not finished it. We do have one, but since we're not taking it up, do people want to look at it or just wait till we...
I would like us to get ready for prime time with the draft board order before we distribute it.
Yeah.
Just the same thing we did with Chestnut Hill Square was to make sure we had something that was in as close to, you know, form that a petitioner's had agreed to the conditions. I don't want to, in other words, I don't want to be posing conditions that
okay.
we already
so
know.
Okay, so we will wait until the working session when we've got an issue for that. Okay.
Yeah.
Relax and go play golf.
So we are
two mutually inconsistent
for the working session for this.
Yeah, we don't have another date.
Yeah. So either that'll go over into August, and that means extensions, and that means people come back in August. I know they're going to go on a site visit, but they're going to have to plan that with council for both sides.
So I want to go on that
site. Yeah. So if you just all right, I'll leave that to you both.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Any other questions before we on this petition? This is 7-11. Before I entertain a motion to hold from the alderman from Ward 8.
Will be held.
Keep you to it.
The alderman from Ward 1.
Every time. I even telegraphed it this time.
I'm moving to one and run against him.
Yeah, okay. All right. I've already got your wife running against you. All right. So all in favor of holding 7-11?
7-0.
All right. We have 7-0. Okay. And then.
Here is you.
Right. We're not done. We have one last item, which is.
He does not. It's okay.
He is after 10.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Oh, would somebody come and pop that door open, please?
Can you let the mayor?
Yeah, please. No, we don't want him. They'll find us dead here in the morning.
Behind the door.
Slumped over the day.
All right. We have a.
What picture? All of us.
All right, see, now I've got a mental image I'm not going to get rid of now. Thank you all so much.
But if you go on Twitter?
We have, no. I don't have my quick upload set for Twitter.
Can you, and we didn't, for some reason, the family didn't get
I didn't either.
Oh, I can email.
That's right.
I'll
email. Okay, full email. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, they want the color. They need the color.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Don't close.
Let it open.
No, leave it open. Oh, please leave it open.
Okay. The committee will now take up a request from the planning department that an outside consultant be engaged for peer review of the traffic study submitted as part of pending special permit petitions number 161-11 for ends 2 and 3 and related petition for zone changes. This is the Chestnut Hill Shopping Center. Rather than explain what you're going to do, Eve, I'm just going to let you explain what you're going to do.
Sure. The Chestnut Hill Shopping Center is coming for a public hearing on June 21st, and they did a small traffic study and shared parking study, for which it was determined that there was not enough time in the house to do the review, petitioner has agreed to pay for an outside consultant. McMahon will be doing it. They're the same people who did it for Chestnut Hill Shopping Center, Chestnut Hill Square. The difference here is $3,800.
So please leave it open.
Yeah.
No?
Sure.
Yeah, just move down the hall.
Move the conversation down the hall. Thanks.
It is a contract for $3,800 that the petitioner is willing to spend. It is not going to be an iterative contract like Chestnut Hill Square, where they came to the meetings and McMahon reviewed Chestnut Hill Square and then said we need more information on that, and then Chestnut Hill Square gave some more information to McMahon, and then they both showed up at the working session. This is a much less, we think, complex issue, and we feel like they will provide a review of it and point out any issues that might need further review, and then perhaps our traffic engineering can do it from there. And if not, I guess we can readdress the issue if we feel like we need to expand further, that you need to authorize and the petitioner would have to agree. It's not a back and forth.
Okay, could I suggest one thing though? Mm-hmm. I mean, while it's not an iterative process, and I agree it doesn't need to be, I think it would be helpful in terms of McMahon's peer review if they submit a draft report that planning and the petitioner can review, so if there's any questions that are easily answered prior to the public hearing, we can do that.
If there's time.
Yeah, because the only thing that ends up happening is you get to the public hearing and we're preparing for the petitioner, well, I've never seen this before, And at least just give them an opportunity to sit down and meet.
Right, and there will be an opportunity for the petitioner to respond to what McMahon has brought up. It's just
but I mean before they before they finalize the report, at least have an opportunity of just like factual questions that they can answer.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that if there's a, that would probably come up, but it isn't going to be sort of the back and forth.
No,
have, one of the issues is we do have traffic engineers in-house that could do some of this. It's just a matter of time. This is their busy season in engineering where they're doing a lot of construction, and because of the blackout period and the like, and the need for Chestnut Hill Shopping Center or their need to go so quickly, it just makes sense to send it out.
Yeah, and again, my concern is just it'll actually lengthen things if they have
yes,
to send.
Yes, understandably.
Okay, Alderman Fishman.
So again, I don't want to get into a prolonged discussion because not all the committee necessarily saw some of the stuff that they're going to present. I don't know who saw it actually.
I think it was in. Wasn't the traffic study included in the McMahon the packet that went out?
What are you talking about?
The traffic study that was
the traffic
done.
Study was
it's
attached
like
to McMahon's quote. Yeah, it's not very long.
No, it wasn't attached
to
McMahon's quote.
Oh, you're saying the scope of work is...
No.
That's just the scope of work.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
This is just the scope of work for McMahon. And I also didn't include their prices because it was a confidentiality clause in there.
They've got all the prices.
Huh?
All we have is the one page, which has the price.
Yeah, but that's
the price for the study, okay? No. This is totally irrelevant.
All right, forget it. All right, so here's the only thing is when you get McMahon.
Oh, my God. Please, people.
I think this is a great idea.
Get his antenna out there, yell at them.
And I support this. But one of the issues with the Chestnut Hill Square project, at least as I saw it, and that is, there's a piece that's along the frontage, which is under control of MDOT or MA, whatever the new term is for state transportation, and there's some new access. And I guess I'm anticipating there'll be questions about how they're arranging the parking and what they're doing in that so-called carriage. It's a misnomer to call it a carriage lane.
I know.
In effect, it's the supplemental lane that's along the line. And I guess I'd be interested in McMahon commenting on how much flexibility there is on dealing with that carriage lane vis-a-vis the state rules and requirements. Because I think, I just don't know, I mean, the state apparently is happy to have, Chestnut Hill take it over. Right now, they don't control it. In fact, the signage is crummy, and at a minimum, they have to replace some of the signs. But they're probably going to take over and manage it. And I guess I'd like to know how much flexibility there is in terms of our input, in terms of parking, landscaping, widening the sidewalks, the width of the roadway, so that when we get into discussion, they'll have given us maybe a little bit of evaluation. Now, maybe it takes it further than a peer review, but to the extent that they could have some considerations, because it's not just the city reviewing. It's a state review as well.
No.
It's within the right of way.
Yeah, right. My understanding of the situation is that they are going to provide two different plans. One, first of all, they haven't signed on the dotted line for control of that area. But what they anticipate they will be able to, and then there's one of two scenarios. Either they'll be able to have control of that area and not be able to make any substantial changes in curb cuts and add parking and the like, or they'll get control of the area and be allowed to make those, and that they will give you both of those scenarios. And you'd make it conditional if you get MassDOT to agree.
I understand that, but I guess I'm saying if there's no change in the area and it's just as is and they're not changing it, there's nothing to talk about. But if they do change it and they get MassDOT to agree that they're the managers, they have some parking configuration in that area. Deb was there, so you saw it. It's sort of a narrower sidewalk. It's perpendicular or, parking
it's
against
angle.
The curb,
it's angle
parking.
Parking.
Mm-hmm. At least 45 degrees. I don't know if that's the right answer, but I know it's going to be a discussion piece, and I guess what I want to know, if MassDOT says, we don't care what you do in there, and if the city wants you to do other things, we're in favor, then that's fine. But if MassDOT has an opinion of what they would limit the developer to do in that area, or constraints or guidelines, I'd like to know that. So maybe, you know, maybe that goes beyond what they're doing, but, you know, whenever you're dealing with the state, you always have to worry, and even on Chestnut Hill Square, you know, they eventually did what we wanted them to do, but they hedged their bets because they weren't sure how MassDOT was going to react to them.
Would that be a question that the city could ask MassDOT directly? As opposed to asking McMahon to do it?
Well, I think that it's a petitioner's responsibility to figure out if they can get what kind of control they can get of that piece, and then they're going to provide a plan to the board based on there'll be two plans. There'll be a plan if they don't get control, or there's a plan if they do.
And the point of the peer review is to see if they did their traffic study right, and we're not really into redesigning the project. We're into, you know, is this a good plan or not?
Well, the only way in which it might be relevant is if there's some impact on traffic flow that would result from the reconfiguration as they're proposing it.
Right, and I assume
to that extent, there may be an opportunity for your peer reviewer to comment on it.
I think they'll do that anyway. I guess I was just anticipating trying to short circuit some of our comments by their saying MassDOT wouldn't allow us to do this, or they would feel that, you know. And I'd like McMahon to give a little bit of a narrative on how this review will go with MassDOT and what kind of guidelines or constraints. Maybe that's too much to ask of them for the 3,800.
I'll ask.
But that would be my question.
Any other questions?
Do we have to vote this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'll move it.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none, all in favor? That's 6-0.
Peter, are you afraid you're going to run out of ink?
I know. They're working with the pencils. I know. Those are pencils. And I keep snapping leads on them, and I never know how much lead I've got left in any particular pencil.
You can write much quicker with a pencil.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it just goes so much faster.
Actually, write quicker with a computer. But.
Well.
I actually write faster with a pencil even than a computer. Sometimes I can't understand my abbreviations.
I can't even read my handwriting. Okay.
And this does not get reported out to the board for a vote, by the way. So
it is 10 o'clock at night. Mm.